Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III, joined by the corner contingent right across from me, my man, 100 grand, Mr. Bobby Rosa. And in the screening room, producer extraordinaire, often imitated but never duplicated, the real J Mac is in the building. And we are ready to rock and roll with today's edition of the program. I am intending to get to more discourse on Trump administration nominations. It was announced just today that RFK Jr. has been officially declared Mr. Trump's pick for Secretary of the Department of the Department of Health and Human Services. So it is interesting. I said yesterday, I'll say it again, most of his picks, I think, have been good. But there's some that I'm concerned about, you know, but I will tell you, my posture will be more wait and see. I'm not going to bang a drum and be a fire-breathing dragon on it. Because clearly, to me, he seems far more prepared, President Trump, I'm talking about, to govern. You know, I've long said campaigning is one thing. Governing is an entirely different phenomenon. And he seems far more prepared to govern than he was when he was elected in 2016. So I will lodge my concern, express my concern about those nominations that I'm a little bit more cautious about. But I'm not going to blow the house down, huff and puff like the big bad wolf, because it's clear that the American people made their voices heard in wanting to have a radically different direction for our nation, which I completely am on board with. At this very moment, many of you, if not most of you, are making your transition from your part-time jobs where you generate an income to your full-time jobs, which is outcome cultivation. As you do so, I want to remind you to do so with intentionality, understanding the primacy that God places on the family. And I want to tell J. Mac, I didn't tell him before, that the scripture I'm going to go to today is Proverbs chapter 14, verses 33 and 34. Proverbs chapter 14, verses 33 and 34 is where we're going to go today. But it's vitally important as you're making your transition to understand the primacy that God places on family, to recognize the truth of the statement. What goes on in your house is far more important than what goes on in the White House. It is imperative that you understand that. We have cast our votes. We've made our voices heard in terms of how we want the government to be filled. But I have to tell you, the change in trajectory for our nation cannot solely be an economic change. I'm sorry, a political change, a governmental change. We have to change course in our nation. The people in our nation must chart a different course, which means the gospel must be proclaimed and disciples must be made. We have to understand the urgency of the moment. And you've heard me say long times, many times repeatedly, that an increasingly wicked populace will not endure godly government. Government is not the root, it's the fruit. It's the evidence of where our nation has been, by and large. And we have to be very wary of the fact that many can conflate, misconstrue what's happening in the government and function as if government is God. Now, I know a lot of people, especially those who voted for the current administration and, you know, GOP majority in the Senate and ultimately in the House, they wouldn't verbally say government is God. But I'm asking practically and functionally, where does our hope lie? Where does our confidence lie? I, like many of you, will enjoy seeing major changes transpire on the governmental front. But make no mistake about it, the most enduring and desperate need for the American people is repentance. Straight up, it's repentance. Proverbs chapter 14, as I said, is where we're going to go. Proverbs chapter 14, verses 33 and 34. As a reminder, the book of Proverbs is wisdom literature, to where the depths of each verse can be plumbed individually. It's one of the only, one of the few portions of scripture, the only book, certainly, the entire book is the book of Proverbs. But it's the wisdom of God is made available to us. I still marvel at the supernatural blessing it is to have the word of God available to us. And this is what the word of God says. Word of God says, wisdom rests in the heart of one who has understanding. But in the hearts of fools, it is made known. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. I'm going to read that again. Wisdom rests in the heart of one who has understanding, but in the hearts of fools, it is made known. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. One of the major things that the scripture points out over and over and over again is that a man of understanding is one who doesn't have the need to talk a lot. Notice I said the need. It doesn't mean that a man of understanding doesn't talk a lot. It doesn't mean that you can't talk a lot, but doesn't have the need to talk. Have you ever been in a situation where you're having a conversation and it's supposed to be a conversation, but really it's a monologue with pauses in between? Because the other party is talking and they don't really want to hear what you have to say. They just are waiting for the next opportunity to speak. Well, the converse of this very verse, another verse in Proverbs says that a fool is counted as wise as long as he stays silent. You have a man who is foolish, but as long as he don't say anything, long as the foolish man doesn't talk, nobody knows he's a fool. But the moment the yap opens, the yap reveals all. This first verse is describing the wise man who, because he is a wise man, because this is a wise person, there is no need to speak. The wise person can speak. The wise person, when they do speak, it'll be phenomenal what they share, but they don't have the need to speak because wisdom rests in them. The same book of Proverbs lays out repeatedly over and over again, how does one become wise? That the Lord's word makes wise the simple, that you become a man of understanding by feasting on the spread that is the Lord's word. Wisdom rests in the heart of one who has understanding, but in the hearts of fools, because the fools cannot resist the necessity to verbally upchuck. And so when that blabber is exposed, wisdom confronts the blabber, and what's made evident is what is imprudent versus what is prudent. As I'm speaking, I know many of you have had those experiences. This person doesn't know up from down, but they cannot stop talking. Cannot stop talking. Another example of the same scripture. Respond not to a fool according to his folly. Don't allow the fool to draw you into their territory. Then it says, conversely, then respond to a fool according to his folly. I mean, the word of God is replete. Proverbs 18, he who speaks first seems right until another comes and examines him. That's what this verse is talking about, that the fool is expressive, but in expressing that idiocy, wisdom is made evident because it's contrasted with what is presented from the fool. It's not coincidental that the very next proverb begins, righteousness exalts a nation. You'll see all throughout the Proverbs that righteousness and wisdom are paired often. Righteousness and wisdom are paired often. You have the proverb writer articulating an individual phenomenon and then exporting the accumulation of that individual phenomenon as to what transpires in a nation. You know, I've described it to my children this way. God being infinitely wise, he's giving you how many eyes? Two. He's giving you how many ears? Two. And how many mouths has he given you? One. I said, you should listen and observe far more than you speak. Doesn't mean you shouldn't speak, but you should listen and watch far more than you speak, because that is one of the ways God has given us to learn. Now, it doesn't mean you remain mute, because we must speak. But we want to make sure that our words are weighty and that they're seasoned with salt. We don't want to be people who are frivolous in our speech. So when you watch wisdom and then it's pairing with righteousness, the Lord then goes on to explain through his proverb writer, righteousness exalts a nation. That's right. That's why the word of God tells us, be slow to speak, slow to anger, quick to listen. And then righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. I am speaking in this way consistently because I want to make sure our audience here understands what the target must be. We cannot afford to get off of what the target must be. The target that our nation must be trained toward is righteousness. I want to have a booming economy. I enjoyed when, you know, home mortgages were at 2%. That was fantastic. You know, I want people to be able to keep their possessions and work hard and eat the fruit of their wages. But that is not the primary target. I want people to be able to speak freely. But more importantly than speaking freely is speaking wisely with the freedom that we have. I want people to have the rights that are protected, secured to us by government, that would allow the Christ followers to advance our kingdom objective. We cannot afford to get off of the target. Righteousness is what exalts a nation. My prayers for this audience is when you hear the expressions, make America great again, make America healthy again, that your immediate refrain is make America righteous. Because greatness in health, even. What good would it do a man to have physical health, yet his soul is eternally damned? We want to have the perspective that we have the eternal view that impacts our engagement in the here and now. It is because of our eternal confidence that we are motivated, that we are invigorated to do life according to the auspices of our King. Righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. You want to study what transpired all across the nation, all across the world in various iterations? Sin is what doomed them. We should never have the type of hubris to think that what we know has transpired in world history, what happened to Israel, what happened to Judah, what happened to Rome, what happened to Babylon, what happened to Persia, what happened to Greece, to think that it cannot happen to America, what happened to England. The MAG and President Trump's slogan must be make America godly. Make America godly. There are steps that must be taken in that direction. But what I want you guys to understand that the tip of the spear, the leader of this trek, is not government. It's the people. It's the people. The leaders are servant leaders. They are not the ones that are going to be the bellwethers. So what type of nation we will be? It starts with the people. And then we have the wherewithal to demand the quality of leadership that will reflect the core of our nation. The target must be aimed appropriately. Righteousness exalts a nation.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
What if God wrote a book? Would you read it? Well, the fact is, God did write a book, and it's called the Bible, and we have the privilege of reading it. The author of the Word of God is God, our Heavenly Father. He used about 40 or so secretaries to write the Word of God. But God is the one that inspired every word of the Word of God. So it's a book by God, about God. The Word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of God. And so from Genesis to Revelation, you're reading an autobiography, a book by God, about God. And God continues to introduce himself to us. And more we come to know who Jesus is and his personality through the Word of God. We live in a world where people read lots and lots of things, but the most important book in all of the world for you to read is the book written by the Creator of the universe, the precious Word of God.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. In North America, fall is an important time for farmers. It's the time they harvest various crops, including corn, and in the process, they often plant winter crops like wheat. In farming communities, it's not uncommon for churches to even hold prayer services to ask the Lord for a fruitful harvest. That's in keeping with what God's people have done throughout the ages, like in Psalm 85, when the people sang, "The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest." So this fall, a time when we already have a holiday to give thanks, let's be sure to pray and thank God for his bounty. The Lord has given us what is good. Get more daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Try it out. Visit getanchor.com.
If you are 65 or older, you know this, inflation is hitting everyone hard right now, especially when it comes to healthcare. Over the last 10 years, healthcare costs have skyrocketed by, get this, 230%. If you have Medicare Parts A and B, you know there are still out-of-pocket expenses like deductibles and co-payments, and they really add up. But here's some good news. MediShare 65 Plus is designed to fill in those gaps and help protect you from rising healthcare costs. At only $99 per month up to age 75, you get peace of mind at a price you can afford. And MediShare is trusted, too. It's been around 30 years. It's not some big impersonal thing. It's a community of people helping each other, business owners, pastors, retirees. People love it. MediShare 65 Plus just makes sense. To learn more, give them a call. They're great to talk to. They'll offer to pray with you each time you call, too. Call now, 833-45-BIBLE. That's 833-45-BIBLE, 833-45-BIBLE.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. Yesterday, I talked a little bit about the people saying that they were leaving the country because of the election. Now you have a whole slew of, you have a couple, well, at least one news outlet and so-called celebrities are saying they're leaving X. Because I no longer feel safe to digitally engage in communications. I no longer feel comfortable. I don't want to help to prop up a platform for a man's platform who would dare put the orange man back in power. Bye, Felicia. Ain't nobody studying you. You know, it's just, it's crazy that that is the case. Leave. And you know what I don't understand as well? Like, I've never been in a place physically or in any other environment where if I want to leave, I have to get on, "Hear ye, come ye, hear ye, gather round, come everyone, one and all come. I have decided that it is time for me to depart." Man, just leave. If you want to leave, listen, I learned this playing high school basketball. You know, I was playing, going to go get your hat, your coat, and get on out the door. You know, go. And it's bro, we have become such a soft society. All of this pansified. If you have the audacity to make a statement, you make it public. articulate your view, or how about this? Don't respond to people. You're not obligated to respond to every comment on your post. But now we have people that want a virtue signal and just soft. Just soft. Now, my wife and I were talking to our children the other day about, you know, the difference between younger generations and all. Go to the doctor as a child. Man, if I'd have came home, "Daddy, I'm bleeding." "Man, put some dirt on it." "Better rub some dirt on that boy." All right. Look, in the summer, and this is the real truth in New Orleans, my parents work out, I would be with my grandmother in the summertime. My grandmother would say, when your parents leave to go to work, you got to get out of here. I don't care where you go, you just got to get out of here. And you don't come back inside till they come home from work. And that's the truth. But we have such a soft society. It's absurd. Like all of these people, Bette Midler, Jamie Lee Curtis, Don Lemon, man, nobody care if you on X or not. Get on. And Don Lemon tried to say, "Oh, I'm upset because the new terms of service indicated any litigation has to take place in the Northern District of Texas. He's trying to force us to litigate if we have concerns in a conservative jurisdiction." So you're not entitled to use the platform. He bought it. If you don't want to be on it, get off. The Guardian, now, and I want you all to know this, The Guardian, the news outlet, The Guardian, which is a UK outfit, is based in the UK, but they also have an outlet in Australia. This was The Guardian statement. "We think that the benefits of being on X are now outweighed by the negatives that resources could be better used promoting our journalism elsewhere. This is something we've been considering for a while, given the often disturbing content promoted or found on the platform." Get off! Go! But I want you to know about this, because I want you to know that this is a journalistic publication. So when you see The Guardian's links shopping around, just remember that, you know, it's too rough and tumble for them on X, so they have to shut their journalism elsewhere. You know, the Berlin Film Festival. Man, y'all get out of here. I ain't wasting more time with y'all. I wanted to get to this yesterday because it is vitally important. The policy prescription offered by President Trump and his plan for dealing with the cartels on the southern border. And actually, I'm going to tie this to this next story that I have out of Tennessee. I'm going to get to the appointments, but this is something I want you guys to be aware of. This is how President Trump said he would deal with the cartels on the southern border. It's clip number one. Go.
"Our country is being poisoned from within by the drugs and by all of the other crime that's taking place. The drug cartels are waging war in America, and it's now time for America to wage war on the cartels. In this war, Joe Biden has sided against the United States and with the cartels. They are making more money than they've ever made before, times 10. There's never been anything like it. They're major, major companies. They're bigger than even some of our biggest companies. Biden's open border policies are a deadly betrayal of our nation. When I am president, it will be the policy of the United States to take down the cartels, just as we took down ISIS and the ISIS caliphate, and just as, unlike the situation we're in today, we had a very, very strong border, the strongest border, in fact, in the history of our country, and drugs were at a low of 45 years. There's been nothing like what we did just 2 years ago. We will show no mercy on the cartels. Every day, drug traffickers are using the waters of our region to ship their lethal poisons to America, killing so many of our people and ruining families. In addition to restoring strong border security, I will deploy all necessary military assets, including the U.S. Navy, to impose the full naval embargo on the cartels. I did that before, and it worked. What we did was incredible. We will guarantee that the waters of the Western Hemisphere are not used to traffic illicit drugs to our country. Furthermore, I will order the Department of Defense to make appropriate use of special forces, cyber warfare, and other overt and covert actions to inflict maximum damage on cartel leadership, infrastructure, and operations. I will designate the major cartels as foreign terrorist organizations. We will sever their access to global financial systems. I will also work to forge an unprecedented partnership with neighboring governments in our region, just like I did in Mexico. And remember, in Mexico alone, an estimated 100,000 civilians have been tragically murdered or gone missing at the hands of these cartels. The Mexican government, run by a very fine man, the president, is really working hard, but it's not working out. These cartels are vicious and they're violent, and they have Mexico for now stymied. Well, we have to help Mexico, and we have to stymie the cartels. Either we will get the full cooperation of other governments to stop this menace, or we will expose every bribe, every kickback, every payoff, and every bit of corruption that is allowing the cartels to preserve their brutal reign, and it is indeed brutal. Finally, as I have said before, I will ask Congress to pass legislation ensuring that drug smugglers and human traffickers receive the death penalty. The drug cartels and their allies in the Biden administration have the blood of countless millions on their hands. Millions and millions of families and people are being destroyed. When I'm back in the White House, the drug kingpins and vicious traffickers will never sleep soundly again. We did it once, and we did it better than anybody else. There's never been a better border than we had just 2 years ago. It was strong, it was powerful, and it was respected all over the world. And now we're laughed at all over the world. And we're not going to let that happen much longer. We have to take over. We have to be tough. We have to be smart. We have to be fair. But if we don't do something immediately, our country is gone.
Pretty detailed. Now, I know many of these policy presentations have been available for a while, but the Trump transition team is reissuing them because when people are asking, well, what are you planning to do? The plans are quite detailed. This is a different run. And so just this week, the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, there was a hearing in the state of Tennessee where you remember we covered the story how the Venezuelan gang Tren de Agua had taken over apartment complexes in Aurora, Colorado. Well, it's not just Aurora, Colorado. The Tennessee Bureau of Investigation informed its governor, Governor Bill Lee, that this Venezuelan gang is in all of Tennessee's major cities. Listen to and watch the clip. Clip number two. Go.
So I want to start off this morning just talking about some concerning trends.
TBI Director David Rausch meeting with the governor, sharing new information about Tren de Aragua,
a Venezuelan gang that is being seen more and more prevalent.
TBI says it's a gang started in a Venezuelan prison 2 years ago. Their members with distinct tattoos were spotted in Tennessee, known primarily for abducting and bringing Venezuelan women to the United States and Tennessee.
In that operation, we recognized a number of the members here trafficking females that they have abducted.
For more than a year, there hasn't been a concern, arresting some and investigators not spotting any more of their criminal activity until recently.
They're back in all of our major cities. They are running human trafficking operations. That's where they start.
TBI didn't offer specifics on instances on recent criminal behavior or exactly where this gang has been spotted, saying they've been connected to human trafficking, organized retail theft, and drug crimes across the state.
All of this happened, guys, on the Biden-Harris watch. This is why the American people were saying close the border, and this is why the American people elected President Trump and those who shared his vision. Now, I understand that this is going to be a seismic effort. And if you think the swamp rats are going to just roll over, you got another thing coming. You got another thing coming. But I wanted to put those two pieces of information side by side to let you see this is not just hypothetical. This is real. This is real where we are. Now, I don't want to run out of time, so I'm going to start this now on these appointments. When you hear that exhaustive agenda, and I just shared just literally the last 2 days, three of the policy areas of at least, 15 of those same types of videos that have been, that President Trump has put out. And you have this happening all around the country. I mentioned yesterday some of the nominations that I'm excited about, that I'm happy with. Susan Wiles as chief of staff. She has proven to be an extremely wise woman. And her position, and a lot of people made a big deal about it, the first woman chief of staff ever nominated. She wasn't nominated because she's a woman. She was nominated because she did a great job and does a great job. You know, that's why she was nominated. Tom Homan. Oh, boy, I'm telling you, he might be my favorite. He might be my favorite of all of these nominations simply because it is very focused in purpose, very focused in job objective, very, very focused. So let's just go through some of these. President Trump has, well, let me start this one. This is probably the most high profile and controversial to date. President Trump has announced his nomination of Matt Gaetz to become the next attorney general. And there's been a lot of news media surrounding this. There's some things about Matt Gaetz that I like. It's clear that he's willing, you know, to take a sledgehammer to the deep state. While at the exact same time, you know, you have some other things, some temperament things, some other things that are concerning. And then, of course, you have the criminal investigation that the Department of Justice launched. And this is the reality. I don't have any inside information. All I know is what is publicly available. You had the investigation into, you know, illicit sexual activity of the criminal sort with no charges. All right. Now, we're in such a topsy-turvy world that allegations, it could look just like Brett Kavanaugh's, the allegations made against him. His whole life, the man serving in the federal judiciary, nothing came up when he was an appellate court judge in the D.C. Circuit. But when he's nominated to Supreme Court, then all of these things come out of nowhere. Now, the allegations prove to be nothing. So the same thing could happen in the Matt Gaetz scenario. I'm just not certain. You know, there's been some expression of resistance already from Republicans in the Senate. John Cornyn has come out already. You know, John Cornyn, the same John Cornyn that was up to be Senate Majority Leader, the same John Cornyn that opposed questioning whether or not the 2020 election had some funny business, the same John Cornyn who is an acolyte of Mitch McConnell the Turtle, the same John Cornyn who's pro gun control, who bought all into the Russian collusion hoax. I'm not a fan of John Cornyn. But the reality is, you know, I'm just like, okay, if you have evidence and have things to communicate that should oppose, that should prevent Matt Gaetz from being confirmed to the AG position, bring it out. Let's bring it out. Bring it out. For good, bad, you know, if it's horrible and he shouldn't be confirmed, don't confirm him. But if y'all are lying about it, bring that out too. Something is certainly cooking because as soon as President Trump announced that he was nominating Matt Gaetz, he resigned his position in Congress. People don't do that unless they expect to be confirmed. Now, you have some other things. He wants to make sure that Governor Ron DeSantis has the opportunity to nominate his replacement there. I probably would have picked somebody other than Matt Gaetz, you know? But I think President Trump has earned the right for us to say, okay, let's see. Let's see. And so, as I said, that's the position I'm going to take on these nominees. Most of them I like. Some of them I don't. But I'm still going to maintain the position. Well, let's see what's happening. Because one thing that I know for certain, that swamp is so swampy and it's so deep that we have to have people in there that some that's going to need wrecking balls instead of meat cleavers.
streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we've removed the letters ING. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. And I have to tell you, with the announcement of Matt Gaetz to head up the Department of Justice, boy, you should see the squirming and the squawking in D.C. Oh, boy, all of the legal channels, these career Justice Department employees, they are scared. And it could be President Trump announced Matt Gaetz for that purpose alone, to send a signal to the DOJ, we ain't playing with y'all. We're coming in with the sledgehammer. And I said not a meat cleaver, I meant scalpel. Because we need the sledgehammer. You think about what this country has gone through the last 4 years. On top of all that they did personally to President Trump, and it wasn't about him personally, because it was about what he represented. And then to add insult to injury, they actually literally tried to kill the man. And we still don't know heads or tails of that. So his pick of Matt Gaetz could be for no other reason than the signal. Everybody needs to understand that we're not playing. So, but the Matt Gaetz nomination is one of the ones I'm like, I said yesterday about Pete Hegseth. Yeah, he's not a traditional, you know, a four-star Pentagon general, but the man is at two bronze stars. And everybody who celebrated, we talked about this yesterday, Sam Britton and Richard Levine. Excuse me. Excuse me, Richard.
Yeah.
Y'all gonna have to sit this one out. Then I already announced today, it was formally announced, President Trump announced that RFK Jr. will be his nomination to be the Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services. I think RFK Jr. will do a good job in that role, but I'm concerned about the potential of his ideas in other areas influencing President Trump. As long as he stays focused on getting the poisons out of our food and that kind of stuff, I'm cool with that. And then the other thing I want to make sure of, that he does so without adding massive regulatory regime. Because that's not what we need. What we need is for the American people to understand that when you're drinking that Mountain Dew or whatever it is, that it has, you know, dye number so-and-so, that these yellow things, you know, these Cheetos, they have that tartrazine in it. That's what we need. We don't need a right-wing regulatory regime. All right? And his other insane ideas. Even his position on, you know, the innocent unborn children. No. I don't trust him in that area. I don't trust him in that area. So, again, I want to wait and see. I do think he'll do a good job with addressing the poisons. And I think he's wise enough to recognize, okay, he's not president. President Trump wants him to be a part of his agenda, not for RFK to go off on his own tangent. You know, we don't need high fructose corn syrup and everything, you know. Kristi Noem, I'm not a fan of that pick. Kristi Noem is nominated to be the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. I'm not a fan of that one. Tulsi Gabbard, similar to RFK. I think if she focuses on intelligence, Department of National Intelligence. I mean, remember, she was blacklisted, couldn't even fly. If she focuses there, I'm okay with it. But she has some other ideas I don't agree with. But I think she can do a really good job in that area. And like I said, that I'm willing to wait and see. you know, Tulsi Gabbard. At least Stefanik, I'm not a fan. I'm getting all the ones I don't like out first. What'd you say? You do like her? At least Stefanik?
The hammer of the UN.
Nah, I don't like her. At least Stefanik voted for the Equality Act as a congresswoman.
True.
That's a big deal. That's a big deal. Should I expect her to do anything other than that at the UN? No. She is going to be the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. Well, since I'm on it, tell you all the ones I don't like. And Vivek Ramaswamy, you know, I think he has some good ideas, but I don't trust him. I feel like Vivek Ramaswamy is making a very naked push for political positioning prospectively. Now, I do think he can do a good job in the Department of Government Efficiency. And I was laughing. I saw, like, Liawatha. Y'all know what that is, huh? Liawatha. That's Senator Elizabeth Warren. Liawatha thought she was being slick. Oh, that's what you need to do. Regulate government by creating a new government or department. To which Elon Musk fired back, yeah, we'll do good because unlike you, we're not getting paid. The Department of Government Efficiency is going to be an extra governmental organization. And it's important to note that because if Elon Musk became an employee of the federal government, he would either have to rescind all of his contracts with the government with SpaceX, or he would have to disavow himself from his own company, which he's not going to do. So he is going to function, him and Vivek Ramaswamy are going to operate as private citizens, civilians, who are watching governmental spending and advising the Trump administration concerning the regulatory regime. And this is also why the people talking about leaving X are ridiculous, because Elon Musk has already come out saying that they're going to post on X all the various iterations of wasteful spending and invite the American people to weigh in on it as they're evaluating them expenditure by expenditure by expenditure. Yes, please, and some more, as it should be. As it should be. So I am pumped about that. Just, you know, Vivek. And since we're on that point, I think Elon Musk would do a good job in that role, as long as Elon Musk's role is confined to what that is. And I said yesterday, another little thing that's just interesting to note, that I said this, the little birdie told me, that Elon Musk is keeping his pack around, that anybody who opposes the America First agenda as Congress members, that he will fund primary opponents against them. So you're going to see some people getting in line and staying in line. Yeah, that's right. Some people said, I'm going to get on X just so I can see all of the government expenditures that they're going to be eliminating. One of the first things that they announced is eliminating half of the federal bureaucracy on day one. Firing half. It's going to be interesting how that is rolled out. But, hey, that's the way it looks. Now, having said that, and Elise Stefanik, for those who don't know, was a congresswoman from New York who was nominated for that UN position. But there's some that I love. You know, Mike Huckabee is UN ambassador to Israel. Pfft. Yes, sir. He shoots, he scores. All right, Steve Witkoff. I don't have any opposition to him. He's serving as special envoy to the Middle East. He's going to work with Mike Huckabee on a lot of things there. Mike Waltz as national security advisor. I don't necessarily have any strong opposition to him. John Ratcliffe as CIA director. I'm not so sure about him. I'm not so sure about John Ratcliffe. As I said, I'm going to wait and see. But I probably would have picked somebody else for that position. Lee Zeldin, former gubernatorial candidate for the state of New York. He has been tapped by President Trump to become his Environmental Protection Agency administrator, head of the EPA. I like it. I like it. It fits Lee Zeldin's expertise. It's a good pick. Bill McGinley, White House counsel. I might have gone different there, but I don't oppose Bill McKinley's position there. Dan Scavino, Deputy Chief of Staff. I like it. I like it. I like it. This is another one of my faves. This is right up there next to Tom Homan for me. Stephen Miller, Deputy Chief of Staff for Policy and Homeland Security Advisor. I like Stephen Miller. I really like Stephen Miller. Yes, sir. I think that is an excellent pick. And while we were on the air, the Trump transition team announced that Congressman Doug Collins from Georgia is going to be President Trump's Secretary of Veterans Affairs. I like Doug Collins in that position as well, but here's my concern. So Matt Gaetz, Doug Collins, Elise Stefanik, they're all members of the House of Representatives. John Ratcliffe, members of the House of Representatives. President Trump, I think, is going a little bit too much into Congress to get these nominees because these people are going to all have to be replaced. So they'll have governors nominate their replacements temporarily and special elections coming up to fill those positions. Then you have, this is one I don't like too much, Marco Rubio as Secretary of State. I'm not the biggest Rubio fan. I'm going to just tell you. And I don't think he'll do a bad job. I think he can do a good job in this role. But, you know, and that is a role that Marco Rubio would take because he has future aspirations. That's right, cannibalizing Congress. Question, good question. Will those seats flip? The seats won't automatically flip. And so far, all the denominations have come from places that are widely regarded as safe Republican districts. And with the exception of Elise Stefanik's seat in New York, the governors will appoint Republicans to fill those seats. Most likely, Elise Stefanik will be replaced with a Democrat by Kathy Hochul, but it'll only be a short term because then they'll have to have a special election soon after the appointment. But yeah, Marco Rubio, man. I mean, I think he's I think his position on Hamas is right. They have to be destroyed completely. Period. End of sentence. But Marco Rubio, man, I would have picked somebody differently for that position. James Blair, Deputy Chief of Staff for Legislative, Political, and Public Affairs. I'm good with that. Taylor Butterwich, Deputy Chief of Staff for Communications and Personnel. I'm good with that as well. Now, one thing you need to know, not all of these are cabinet positions. Like Tulsi Gabbard's nomination to be head of the Department of National Intelligence. Not all of these are cabinet positions, so not all of them would have to be subjected to confirmation. So I know President Trump is selecting people that he expects to be confirmed. The only exception to that to date really is Matt Gaetz. And you're already seeing opposition from both some Democrats and Republicans to Matt Gaetz. But that remains to be seen. But that being said, and their new announcements are being made because it's a big job filling out, you know, an administration. But one major place you want to talk about the Department of Government Efficiency that they'll be able to start straight away is the Department of Education, like we talked about yesterday. That's 4,300 employees right there, like we talked about yesterday. And it's amazing. Man, I got a lot of feedback from people yesterday saying, hey, I didn't know that's how the Department of Education started. It was a political bargain between Jimmy Carter and the National Education Association. I agree. I like with what Marco Rubio says about Israel, but other things he has said in the run-up to here give me pause. So that is what I have to date on the nominations. And just to give you an idea just how challenging this is going to be, I told you guys about the secret vote for the Republican leader of the Senate, majority leader of the Senate that took place. It came down to John Cornyn, Rick Scott, and John Thune, all U.S. senators. They voted for John Thune. I want to remind you who John Thune is. Also, a Mitch McConnell henchman. During President Trump's administration, he wanted Mike Pence to take over for President Trump. He's buddy-buddy with Liz Cheney. Mm-hmm. He mourned January 6th. You know? That's who John Thune is. What I suspect happened behind the scenes, like, listen, you get to position, you're going to agree to recess appointments, which is something Mitch McConnell did not agree to. Mitch McConnell opposed President Trump's ability to staff his administration. The expectation would be that John Thune and John Cornyn, both McConnell acolytes, would probably do the same, except for J.D. Vance is in the Senate. So I think the combination of J.D. Vance being in the Senate, the electoral mandate, I think the message has been conveyed loudly and clearly that you either get on the train or get ran over by the train. You pick which one you want to do because the train is coming. The train is on the tracks. So we'll see. As we get more nominations, we'll talk about them. I haven't seen any more yet. Not because they haven't happened. I just haven't seen them yet. But if there are more, definitely check them out. Stay with us throughout this process because buckle up because it is about to be a very interesting ride. President Trump has sent a clear message that things are not the same. There is a new sheriff in town. And this sheriff's boots are made for walking. Y'all have a great evening, everybody.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.